Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
We're going to be in Luke chapter 6 is where we're going to start as our main verse. And as we continue our series called Going Deeper, Hard Questions, Real Answers, we've dealt with some heavy, heavy topics. And if you missed some of those weeks, we have that on our Facebook page and also on our YouTube page. You can check those out. And I heard the other day about two men who were lost at sea, and they ended up shipwrecked on an island. The minute they got on the island, one of them started screaming, "We're going to die, we're going to die, we're all going to die." And the second man was propped up against a palm tree, just relaxing, chilling. And he said, "What's wrong with you? Aren't you concerned? Aren't you worried?" And he's like, "Man, I'm not worried at all." And he said, we're good. You'll be okay. You don't understand. I make $100,000 a week." Well, the first man's like, "Who cares how much you make a week? I don't care. We're going to die. We're on an island. We have no food. We have no water. We're not going to survive more than a couple of days here." And so he said, we're going to die. He's like, "You don't understand." The second man said, "I make $100,000 a week. I tithe 10% of my $100,000 a week to my church. I tithe $10,000 a week. Trust me, my pastor will find me." He's going to find me, man. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. This Bible verse oftentimes is used just to mention about tithing. But in reality, it's about stewardship, which includes tithing. But this is what it says. Give, these are the words of Jesus, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, and make room for more, running over and poured into your lap." And notice this. "The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Let's pray. Father, as we come before your presence, as we dig into your word and we handle this subject of giving and tithing, I pray that we're sensitive to your spirit and that we clearly show in your word what you have for us and the program, the financial program that you have for your church. We love you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. So the two questions that get asked, and I've heard, for some of you, you know this. This is not new to you. For some of you, this is maybe relatively new. And you may have these questions. Do you have to pay to go to church? Why do churches take an offering? Now, I realize sometimes there are churches that, and maybe you've said it yourself, all that church wants is your money. And I hope no one ever feels that way about our church, but sometimes it's a blanket statement to cover all churches. And unfortunately, sometimes there are churches that's kind of their attitude. I hate saying that as a pastor, but sometimes there's churches, they only want your money. They don't care about you. They don't care about who you are. And I don't think that's the case here in our town, let alone our church. But sometimes we get that impression when you watch certain preachers who do not preach correctly and preach the Word of God on TV, some of them. And sometimes there are preachers in those churches, and they give a bad reputation to everyone else. You know, sometimes there's folks who believe every pastor drives a Bentley or a Mercedes and lives in a $600,000 house or something like that because they see some guys on TV who are preachers. And the reality is probably 99% of preachers, that's just not the case. It's not the case. And so, but we are called, we see here in Luke chapter 6, we are called as believers, as Christians, to be good stewards of what God gives us. Stewardship isn't about getting you to give so we'll be blessed. It's about giving so you'll be blessed. Stewardship isn't just about giving money, but it's also about giving of your time and using your talents for the Lord. That's what stewardship is. We should be good stewards of our time, our talent, and the money, the resources in which God has given us. There's some churches that they kind of, there's the 80-20 principle where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I haven't really counted up who all does what in our church, but I can tell you this, that's not true in our church. We have so many people that serve and serve in different areas. And we still have areas that need to be addressed, but we have so many servants of the Lord here. I mean, last year in our vacation Bible school, we had so many people serving. My wife and I, my wife's like, what do we do with all these people? Which was wonderful. How many churches would love to have that problem? That don't go like, well, I won't serve in VBS and we won't have enough this year, right? Like, don't do that to me. But I'm very thankful for you. But these are some of the questions that people really do have. Do you have to pay to go to church? And quick answer is no. No, everything we do here is about a free will offering. And we don't, you know, we don't have bouncers at the doors, right? Like, okay, put it in the bucket before you come in or we're going to kick you out. We don't do that. But here's the thing, though, I want you to know. You could give 10% or whatever amount that percentage you decide on of your income and still be a bad steward of your time. God cares about your time. You see, you can be in church every single service all year and be a bad steward of the talent God has given you. He's given you a gift, every single believer, at least one gift. Usually it's two or three, is what I've noticed. See, you can serve in every ministry and still be a poor steward of your finances. And a common misunderstanding, especially among believers, is that I give of my time so I don't need to tithe. The problem with that is you won't find that anywhere in Scripture. In fact, what you will see in Scripture is God wants you to serve. He wants you to give of your time, and He wants you to give of your resources as well. Why? Because here's the thing. God owns it all. All of it. Everything you have. He owns it all. And He's entrusted us with certain materialistic things to see how we will handle them and to see if we will be faithful with those things in which He's given us. It's a test of faith. It is. It's a test to see if we will use all that He's given us for His glory. And so stewardship could be said like this: caring for that which belongs to another. And that's what it is. God has given some of you here, children. You get them for about 18 years. They're on loan to you, whether you realize it or not. Then your job is to prepare them to go out into the real world, right? And have those grandbabies that you can spoil. And the job that God has given you, He's given that to you. It's no mistake that you are where you're at. God may have a different job for you in the future. But why would God give you a better job if you're not willing to trust Him with the current job in which He's given you now? You know, it could be that maybe in your mindset, well, I would give to the Lord if I had more money here. No, you wouldn't. You see, God has given us all what He's given us. It's all of His. And so God, He has a financial program He has put in play for the church. Some know it and don't practice it. Some genuinely don't know it. They've just heard different things, you know. Churches just want your money, and that's what you get told and what you've heard. And maybe you think you got to pay to go to church. It's not the case. But what is it exactly? The foundation of Christian giving is the tithe. The word tithe itself, don't miss this, means a tenth, is what it means, 10%. And so here's the thing, it's fair. It's 10% for everybody. It calls not for equal giving, because we all make different amounts of money, but notice this, tithing calls for equal sacrifice. Think about that. Equal sacrifice, all of us. It's honest because it all belongs to the Lord. It's blessed. In fact, we'll see here after a while in Malachi 3 that the Lord said that He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing for being faithful and giving to Him. It's the beginning. We should grow beyond, but it's a start. It builds our faithfulness and trust. And so some concerns about doing this kind of message. I always have concerns when I preach this type of message, and these are good questions and hard questions. But and you can ask if you're new here, and maybe it's your first time to a church in a long time. Well, you picked the right Sunday to come, right? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But seriously, I preach maybe on this subject. It's biblical, right? I preach on it maybe once a year, and there's sometimes in messages I'll throw something in. But you can ask people who come to this church. I'm not a preacher who preaches on tithing every month. I'm not going to beat you over the head with the Bible about tithing. In fact, I've had people in our own church go, "Preacher, you really don't preach on tithing as much as you should, in my opinion." I'm like, "Well, thanks. You can preach next Sunday." That's what I told them. But they had a point, and I want to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. But so I wanted to address this. Now, maybe to yourself, and maybe that's what you're telling yourself, and you still believe that, churches just want your money. Well, so does Walmart, so does casinos, so does a horse track, so does the government. And we don't want just your money. We care about you. We really do. And I want you to be blessed in life. And sometimes there's this idea out there, and sometimes I get it from verse 38 here, that if you just tithe, God's going to make you a millionaire. If you put $10 in, God's going to give you $1,000 back. Well, it's not in the Word, but what is in the Word is that when you give, you will be blessed. And I tell you, there's some things that as you grow older, you start to realize you can't put a price on. I look at my children, I think, thank the Lord they're healthy. Because how many moms and dads right now would give $1 million just to have a healthy child? I look at, it could be the job that you have that you enjoy and you love. Thank God for that. The peace and the joy in which He gives you. The spouse that you have, right? I heard it said once, and I believe it to be true, 90% of your happiness will come through the spouse in which you marry. A lot of truth in that, right? A lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth. We laugh at it, but happy wife, happy life. Yeah, there's some truth in that. Yeah. You see one of you gentlemen having a bad day or bad week. I'm like, his wife's mad at him. Yeah, that's what's going on. But we've been blessed here at our church. And maybe you're relatively new here. And I tell you, We here as a church, did you know our church tithes? Did you know that? We do. Every dollar that comes into this church, we give 10% of that towards missions. To the North American Mission Board, which starts churches. To our foreign missions across the world. That's part of our job. That's part of what we do. In fact, maybe right now you're wondering, why have this message? Why do we tithe? It's a good question. Because if we don't understand the why, we won't get it. We won't be sold into something if we clearly do not understand the why. So I want to show you the why. And Jesus spoke of this. Before He ascended to heaven, He gave us ultimately the why we tithe and why we give to the church. All right? God's financial program. We're going to go a little deeper, but in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said this. All right? Matthew 28. Jesus came and told His disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." Jesus is the head of the church. He is the chief shepherd. He is the authority. I'm not the authority. You're not the authority. He is the authority. His word is the authority. Therefore, this is what you're going to do, church. This is what I want you to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He goes on. "Teach these new disciples to obey all commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And so, the mission of the church is like a bird with two wings. One is discipleship, one is giving the gospel. So there's new converts and people who understand that they need a Savior, that they need to repent of their sins, that they need Jesus, and they are born again. Right? And so it's about discipleship. And discipleship, what is that exactly? It means that you and I are becoming more like Jesus Christ, more like Him, that we're teaching Him the Word. Listen, some of y'all, it's wonderful you're in church. Some of you are relatively new members, and I'm going to be talking to you a little bit. I want to get you connected. I want you to get into a group of a community, right? And the way we do that is through our adult Bible studies that we have between these two services. And we got some things that are coming up that we're going to be talking about. But you need to get connected in community. You need to have those other people that are in the same phase that you are in life, that know what you're going through, can pray for you, can help you. And there's different classes that we have here that you can get connected. And the more a church grows, the more it also should concentrate on making sure it has those groups that you can be connected to. And so that's the next step you need to take. You need to get connected and find that group that you can be a part of that will help you grow in your faith. You see, the reason we do what we do is for the mission. That's why. It's about the mission. We call it the Great Commission. It's about the gospel. It's about discipleship. The church meets in this building. This is not the church. You are the church, right? People make up the church, and this is where we meet. And so we try to take care of the church we have. We have some more improvements we do want to do. Why? Because it's God's house, right? It's God's house. The church meets in God's house here. And it's about, you know, making sure that we make it look the best that it can. I tell you a pet peeve of mine, all right? I'll let you know, so you don't tell anybody. But it drives me crazy if people drop off their junk here at the church and think we can use it. Now, if we're having a yard sale or something, that's one thing. But, like, listen, God doesn't want your second best, y'all. He wants your best, amen? He wants your best. He wants it all. And he deserves it because of what he's done for us. And I say some cool things. This building right here was built in 1995, right here. And in 2005, we added this other part. It's three stories. There's a basement, and there's the two stories. That's where a lot of our Bible study rooms are at. The Lord's blessed us with that. And to kind of give you a little insight, this is no secrets here, but, you know, in your bulletin that you received, your handout, it tells you how much we still owe on that. And in 2005, I think it was like $1.5 million or $1.25 million, something like that. $1 million, $2 million, I mean, who's counting, right? And that someone's trusting people are counting. And but ever since I've been here, and I've been here into this year, will be my third year, I can tell our finance team's so excited because we're under the $300,000 mark. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? Like, we want to pay that off. Yeah, we do. We'll give you an idea. What does it look like monthly? We pay about $7,000 for our mortgage. How would you like that mortgage? Me neither. But we have it as a church collectively. And think of all we could do if we had $7,000 freed up. Yeah, there's some improvements we need, but imagine what extra could we do in the ministries in our church, but also other ministries outside of our church in Florence if that was paid off. If in 2020 we focused on paying that off. You never know what God could do. We could do so much. I mean, maybe some of you may know, this is a little inside joke, maybe a little bit, but do you imagine how many Google Play cards we could buy with $7,000? Yeah, some of you are like, I have no idea what he's talking about. Someone took a Google number this week and texted some ladies in the church, like 20 of them, and said, hey, this is Pastor Lucas, and are you available to text? And so some of them said, yes, and what do you need, preacher? And hey, there's a sick kid in the hospital, and I'm busy. Can you go take him a $500 Google Play card? It wasn't me, by the way, right? They even texted my wife. I'm like, hey, you know, if you're going to pull a scam, be better than that. And it texts the preacher's wife. Like, my wife's like, he ain't getting nothing, you know? And I never would ask for a Google Play card. An iTunes card? Maybe, right? Maybe. But I say that as a slight joke. But being serious, what if we were at a position that God is blessing us so much that we literally in our budget took X amount of dollars, and that's what we gave away every month to help people in our community? That was a fun. I mean, what cool things could we do? Is what I'm telling you here. And so collectively, listen, we're not a church full of rich people. We're just normal, hardworking people, right? And our staff, myself, my wife, we tithe here. This is we're part of this church as well. I'm just not up here, you know. It's not like, hey, we have a good week and, man, preacher can eat steak and lobster this week. Man, awesome, right? Listen, I don't touch the money. I don't. And being serious, we have a financial team that sets a budget. I'm a part of that. My job as a pastor is to oversee everything and make sure everything's done with decent and in order. And I can tell you, our finance team, they do a great job in overseeing. We have a business manager. She didn't go to church here. She goes to another church in town. She's been with us 25 years. Her name's Brenda. Does a wonderful job. And so we stretch every dollar. We really do here. And we want to use it all because it's the Lord's money. And so we try to do a good job with all in which He has given us. And so we see the mission. That's what we're about. We're about the mission. So I want you to see a couple things here. What does the Bible say about Christian giving? We're going to go through these here, okay? Is the first one. Abraham started it. Father Abraham, who had many sons. You know that song, a kid's song, right? Maybe? And yeah, it's pretty catchy. Maybe you can sing it later with the kids. But Father Abraham, before the law was given, before the law that in the Old Testament was given, like to the Israelites, Abraham set an example. This is what it says. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abraham with his blessing. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you. Then Abram gave Melchizedek, who is a type, a picture of Christ in the Old Testament, a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. So long before the law, he gave tithes of all. Jacob continued it in Genesis 28. He continued it. Moses incorporated it in Leviticus chapter 27, which is the law, right, with the nation of Israel. They were building things. They were building the tabernacle, eventually the temple, on down the line. Then we have Malachi commanded it in Malachi chapter 3. And he asked, will a man rob God? The Israelites were not bringing their best. In fact, they had certain instructions to bring the best lamb, to bring the best sacrifice. And the nation of Israel, the people, were bringing the worst that they could bring to the Lord. That's what they were doing. And so he asked, hey, were you going to rob me? Where are we robbing you, God? In tithes and offerings. And notice this. Jesus, he commends it. In other words, he affirmed the tithe in Matthew 23:23. You see, some people argue against the tithe, claiming that it's only an Old Testament command. But the problem is that doesn't line up with what the New Testament tells us. We find that Jesus affirmed the tithe in Matthew 23:23. You see, the Pharisees knew the law, but their hearts were far from God. They were way far from God. They were tithing even the simplest herbs and things in their garden. I mean, they were very serious about it, but their hearts were far from God. God loves a cheerful giver, the Bible says. Why is that? Because God wants our heart. He knows if He has our heart, the tithing part takes care of itself. But He knows that He can have you can give your money and not have your heart. I can think of sometimes people have different motivations for giving. We give out of obedience, not with strings attached. Sometimes people like to give large gifts with strings attached. It shows where their heart is at. I think of a very wealthy man who owned an RV dealership in Indiana. He went to the church I was a youth pastor at, and or had before I had started there. And the pastor who had found this church, had started the church, was now retired, but he lived there on the premises, and his son was the pastor. And this man one day, years before this, owned this multi-million dollar RV. I mean, it was well known across the United States. He was wealthy, very wealthy. But he really had no business ever being a deacon. He really didn't. And it wasn't because, I don't think it was a divorce issue. It was just, he had no business in that. And he met with the pastor, and the church was in a lot of debt. In fact, they were struggling. And he sat down with the pastor and said, hey, make me a deacon. Let me have a little more say in the things that go on here at the church, and I will pay off that and more. And Pastor Frank is his name. He wisely declined. And he said, oh man, he's going to pay off everything. Here's something that I've learned a long time ago. You cannot buy the Spirit of God. You can't buy it. It's all His. And when gifts are given with strings attached, you're giving for the wrong reasons, my friend. It's the Lord's. Amen? It's the Lord's. It's His. And so He wants our hearts. And Jesus said, you should tithe, yes, but you should not leave undone the most important things. That's your heart. You see, God ordained it. He ordained it. It was His idea. God's financial program is through His people. Now, I know sometimes we have certain fundraisers, and there's nothing wrong with those within themselves. But ultimately, God's way of funding His church is through the tithe. The tithe is a 10%. Anything above the 10% is what we call an offering. All of it, though, is free will. Why is that? God says, hey, it's free will. That's why we don't have bouncers at the doors, right? God, we give free will. We don't ask you, hey, what's your taxes and did you give 10%? We don't do that here. There are some churches that do. We won't be that, right? I think that's a little bit over. That's an overreach, say the least. But notice what it says, 1 Corinthians. It says, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. In other words, support your staff. That's part of it, right? Preachers here, myself, starting other churches, it takes money. It does. And so there's churches that need to be started. We're part of something larger than ourselves, and that being the co-op through a Southern Baptist Convention. It's a wonderful, wonderful program, a wonderful setup. And Paul explained it. He said, listen, church, to the church at Corinth, on the first day of the week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and try to collect it all at once. In other words, be consistent in giving at your church. That's part of what we're called to do. So what does this mean? Tithe equals 10% of the salary God has given us, increased or a bonus, whatever He's given us to give to Him. It's God's method to finance the advancement of the kingdom of God. And the tithe is not an offering. The offering's over and above. And it is the foundation or starting place of Christian giving. Who should tithe? Every Christian should tithe. If you're saved and you know Christ, that should be a part of what you do. It's your responsibility. Think about that. Maybe you never thought about it that way. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility to give to your home church. And tithing is simple obedience that God has called us to do. Scripture says, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So where's your heart? Where's your heart at? So ultimately, some still ask, okay, I'm getting it, but ultimately, what is the purpose? Okay, I see it's for the mission, right? We have to spread the gospel. That's good, preacher. But what else? What's the purpose? Here's the first thing. It rearranges your life around God. Sometimes when people hear they need to give 10%, they have involuntary seizures and they're thinking, what in the world is going on? What? They're dumbfounded. To give 10% would mean, preacher, I would have to completely rearrange my life around God. Boom! You got it, my friend. You got it. You got it. You see, God should be in the center of all that we do. You get to rearrange, think about this, you get to rearrange your life around Him. Around Him. Now I realize some of you are like, man, preacher, you understand, I've made a mess of my finances. And we have Financial Peace University, we have things to help people get climb and get out, and we want to help you. My friend, instead of continuing to make a mess and not following God's way, why not do it His way? So, preacher, there's some things I'm going to have to get rid of and rethink. Absolutely. That's what happens when you rearrange your life around the Lord in His way. Listen, my friend, Scripture says in Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it sounds cute in our kitchen, but when we make it practical, are you really, you and your house, serving the Lord? That includes giving of your time, your talent, and also of your resources in tithing. Tithing forces us to have faith, and we get to be faithful in our giving. Listen, before I was a pastor, my wife and I tithed. And there was a time where we went 3 months without a job. And I can tell you, God is faithful. He is faithful He is faithful to us, far beyond what we deserve. And there was another time I lost a job that I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. My wife was very worried, and rightfully so. I wasn't really worried about it. Why? Because my faith had been strengthened from the time before. Some of you, unfortunately, in 2019 or 2020 or in the future, you're going to lose a job. And you're going to wonder what you're going to do. I'll tell you this. For those who are in the right position, that they are faithful and that gives them their tithes and offerings, I'm here to tell you, God is faithful. You can take it to the bank. He is faithful. I promise you. And here's number two. It helps finance the gospel. Churches to be built, missionaries to be sent, and it is part of what we are a part of. It helps build your faith. Let me ask you this. This is a convicting question. In fact, it might make some of you mad. But I'm going to say it because I put this in my notes and I feel like the God wants me to say this. If you can trust the Lord, if you can trust your Lord, the Lord, with, you can trust Him with your soul. You've given your life to Him. You've trusted Him for salvation. Why can't you trust Him with your pocketbook? You see, we all have a choice to make. And so if you can trust Him with your soul, you should be able to trust Him with your pocketbook. Or you love your money more than you love God. It's really that simple. It's really that black and white when it comes to believers. Now, maybe you're new here and you're checking the whole Christianity thing out. No, it's a free will offering. It's, you know, not something I preach on very often. We're glad you were here. But those who decide to join Southside Baptist Church, part of your responsibility is giving to the church, giving to the Lord. That's what we're called to do. And here's the other thing. Places us in a position to be blessed by God. Did you know that? What do you mean by that? Placed in a position to be blessed by God. Absolutely. I think of here's just a couple. I think of David Green, the founder of Hobby Lobby. Opened up in 1970 with $600. Didn't come from a rich family. And what is it now? $2-3 billion company that God has blessed. And they're closed on Sunday. I say, that's not what they tell you in college. Hey, make sure you start a business, close on Sunday, and you'll be a billionaire. Work perfectly. No. Why? What's going on? He put everything in the right spot, the way it should be, and God put him in the position of being blessed. Then there's Chick-fil-A, Truett Cathy, a Christian, closed on Sunday, following the principle that we need a time of rest and worship, right? Now I realize that some of y'all have to work on Sunday, whether you're a police officer or nurse, and those things happen, right? But it's important still, even if you have to work on Sunday, at some point in time to have a time of rest to worship the Lord. It's a principle given to us. But by the way, have you ever been traveling? My wife and I, we either travel to Arkansas or Cincinnati. You're traveling, and your wife goes, man, we want some Chick-fil-A. And you forget it's Sunday, and you pull up to the... Man, that's disappointing, I tell you. But it's a testimony to God's faithfulness. Then there's a company called Tamco. It's not very well known, but it is a multi-million, $100 million company. It's a plastic company. And a man by the name of Stanley Tam started this company years ago. I met Stanley. My youth pastor took us and met Stanley on I-75. He has this huge building. This huge building, it says, Christ is the answer, with a huge cross on I-75 in Dayton. Pray for Dayton as well, man. They got blasted with those tornadoes. But you can see that there. I-75, one of the busiest interstates, right, in America. And he has that there. And Stanley, he started this business. He had started a couple of different businesses, didn't work out. And he started Tamco. And things were going okay, but not great. And he had served in, I believe, in World War II, and had served in Korea, if I remember, serves me correctly. And I remember his testimony. It was so powerful listening to him. And in a revival, the Lord put on his heart, Stanley, I want you to give your business to me. What? Who does that? And so he goes to a lawyer and says, okay, I want to make God 51% co-owner in my business. And the lawyer just looks at him like, are you dumb? Are you crazy? Or what's going on here? And he would not listen to him. And so Stan Lee said, okay, I'm going to move on. He goes to another attorney and is persistent with this attorney. And finally, the attorney's like, okay, fine. You're a crazy Christian? Fine. We'll do this. And so he sets up a nonprofit organization. It's the way he set it up. That had the, however he had set it up on the policies, that 51% of the profit went to this nonprofit. 51%. Stanley had the rest. And the Lord exploded his business. And what he did with the money, what they did with the board, is they supported overseas pastors and missions. Ended up supporting like 1,600 different pastors and starting different churches. That God just used it. And he blessed his business. Well, what was going on? He was willing to let God put him in a position of blessing because of his obedience. It gets crazier though. The business is going and blowing, and God's like, Stanley, I want you to give 100% of your business to me. Oh, God. And he argued with God for a couple of years over this one. And finally he did. And the Lord exploded the business even more and blessed that business. It's still there today with those gigantic signs. Christ is the answer. Listen, Christ is. He is the answer. He is the answer. And here's the other one. It proves God's promises to us. Notice with me and turn with me over to Malachi. Over to Malachi. It's the last book. If you're in Matthew, just go to the left and you'll see Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament. Had a friend once that he was a new believer. He called Malachi Malachi. Sounds like a cool Indian name, doesn't it? Turn to Malachi. And in verse 8, and kind of reiterate, this was the nation of Israel disobeying God. They weren't bringing the best sacrifices. In fact, they were bringing the worst. And the Lord's had enough. He's had enough. And so he says, through the prophet, should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you've asked, what do you mean? Where do we ever cheat you? You've cheated me in tithes and offerings due to me. And you were under a curse with the whole nation, as has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And there in the temple there was rooms, and one was the storehouse where they would store grain and they would store different things. The church today is the modern day storehouse. So there will be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will, notice this, here's a promise. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Notice this. Only one place in Scripture do you ever see this. Only one place you see God says, test me. And it's right here. Put me to test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heavens. I'm going to protect you. This is what we see. We see that when we are honest with the Lord in our tithes and offerings, there's peace with God. Because listen, a man or woman who is a Christian can't have peace with the Lord if you're robbing him. Don't. What are you doing? You're looking over your shoulder. If you rob somebody, you're looking. You're seeing. A provision in abundance. Notice verse 10. It says, verse 10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there will be enough room. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so much that you won't be able to handle. You won't have enough room. If you don't know what that looks like, look around at some of the older people in our church. I'm not saying they're rich. I don't necessarily mean even material. You see, wealth is very fleeting. Look at the joy and the peace that they have. Look at as they look and they join and they get around their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. You look at the joy in which they have. You see how much God has blessed them. You see, maybe God makes you a millionaire. Wonderful. Great. Maybe he just simply gives you a job that you love and you adore. Maybe the fact that you end up having better health. I don't know what it could be for you, but there's things worth a whole lot more than money. Amen? There really is. You know, I look at my kids and I think, thank you, God. Thank you for my kids being healthy. I know they're not perfect, but they're healthy. I thank the Lord for that. Because if one of my kids was sick, if one of my kids had some disease and it cost, and I had $3 million in the bank, which would be nice, But if I had $3 million in the bank, and it was going to cost $3 million to help my child be healthy, I would spend it all. Joyfully, right? I'd want that child to be healthy. And so I feel so blessed in which what God has given me. And so we have a promise of protection, right? We have a proper understanding of material things of when we give. God owns it anyway. He owns it all. And riches are here for a moment, and then they're gone. Listen, if you have so many riches in your life, your kids and grandkids are just going to spend it however they want anyway, right? I mean, why not use it for the Lord? Use it. You know, this life, it's a prepping ground for the next. This is not all there is. There's the eternal. And as Christians, we're focused on the eternal. And my friend, maybe you'll leave this message, my man, the preacher, I ain't going back there again. All he did was talk about money. Then you missed my point. You missed my point. The reason we even have tithes and offerings is because of the mission. Or else, we're just a social club and just meeting for relationships to feel good and missing the point of why we meet. No, there's a mission. There's more to it than just relationships. Relations are part of it, but we're here for a mission. To bring people to Jesus, to love on them. You know, I'll end with this. One day there was a man who was lost in the desert without water. He saw an old shack and he was dying of thirst, and he knew he didn't have much longer. So he painfully made his way to the shack. Instead, inside the shack was a little jar of crystal clear water set on the floor next to the pump. Flooded with relief, he walked over to the jar to quench his overbearing thirst. And as he reached down to pick up the jar of water, he noticed a sign. The sign said, "Use this water to prime the pump out back. And when you are satisfied, refill it and leave it for the next person who will pass by this way." He found himself on the horns of a dilemma because he was so thirsty, but yet he knew he had even more of a journey to go. What if he followed the directions on the sign and there was no water in the well? He had to make a decision to either serve himself now or invest and take the chance that deep down there was so much more. Giving is a method of priming the pump of God's blessing in the life of a believer. You have a choice. You can take the little in which God has given you now and consume it for yourself. Or you can use it to prime something that's got so much more for you. It boils down to whether you believe there's something underneath the ground. That this is not all there is. And we know as believers that there is so much more in which God has. So the question is, will you give to the mission? You give towards what God has called us to do. Christian, the choice is yours. What kind of church ultimately do we want to be? There's so much more, I believe, that we can do as a church in our community. And I tell you, I'd love to have the reputation as a church that says, you know what? That church there cares about people. They care about people. That they go in the community and they help, really do help people. If you've never been on one of our laundromat outreach, it's just simple quarters, right? Maybe $20. Sometimes it's a little bit more. And to see the look on people's faces that a church would pay for anything for them, it's one of the greatest blessings you can have. And church, I think there's so much more that we can do. The question will be if we collectively as a group are willing to obey the Lord, that you and your house are willing to give towards the mission. Let's do it. Let's move forward. I love you, church. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful that you are patient with us. And that I'm sure there's some folks here that maybe they're members or they want to become members, or they've been longtime members, they don't give anything. And they're convicted right now, and rightfully so. There's no way they could go back and make up for what they've missed out on, but what they could do is this. They could do right now is make a decision to repent, and then two, make a decision to give biblically towards the mission which you've called us to. We can't always do anything about the past, but we can do something about the future. And so the question is, will you build your life around God and His mission? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the mission. And may we not go through our life and waste it and miss out on that fact. That's what we're called to. We're called to that. If we're just coming to church just to come to church, man, one day when we stand before the Lord, we're going to be embarrassed because we've missed out on the opportunity to be some part of something larger than ourselves.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.